Hi there, I'm John Malone. I'm a member of Shofar Christian Church in Stellenbosch, and it's a pleasure to share a few thoughts with you from Acts 24. Just to give you context, the last eight or so chapters of Acts are all about Paul's interaction with authorities, and in Acts 24 we have him battling it through with the Jewish leaders in Caesarea Philippi. In Acts 23, something similar, and at one particular point, Paul realizes that he's speaking to Sadducees and Pharisees together, and so he says, "I'm on trial for hope and the resurrection of the dead." Now, Pharisees were comfortable with what he was saying there, but the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, so it immediately sowed dissent, and the group he was talking to started fighting, because you see, Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. Anyway, with that old flow crappy, we'll move on to Acts 24, where I don't want to do much more than just repeat what I've just said from Acts 23. Because in verse 14, when Felix, who Paul is before, gives Paul a chance to respond to some of the accusations, which he just says basically, look, you can't prove anything that you're saying. But he goes on in verse 14 and 15 to say the following, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God that there will certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." Very similar thoughts that he had expressed in Acts 23. And you know, the question that goes through one's mind is, how did it happen that people who were so dispirited, who were so hopeless, were fearful, were hiding after the crucifixion, in a matter of a short number of years, and I don't know exactly how long it was, became so bold and so certain about the gospel and about the resurrection? You know, the resurrection on its own doesn't seem to have created the change that we'd expect. Because you might know that Philip the disciple said to Jesus, "Well, if I can put my fingers on your side, I'll believe that you have risen from the dead." And in fact, the resurrection was attested to by many outside the Bible. So historians, Jewish historians and Roman historians wrote about the fact that the resurrection had occurred. And on its own, it didn't seem to create this change that I'm alluding to. And I think... In fact, I'm certain that in Acts 3, where we read about Pentecost and the significant change that took place in the hearts and the minds of people who were at that stage really confused, I think, is a nice way of putting it, with what was going on, something changed. And they had hope, which is that conviction of something that lies ahead, even though it's not right there. Hope that is seen is no longer hope, is what is written in Hebrews. And so, you know, as we reflect on the hope that we have in the gospel and the resurrection to come, I want to just close with a few thoughts about the resurrection and the resurrection for us as well that lies ahead when we eventually die and are resurrected. You know, if you ask many people what it was that Jesus did when he died in our place, most people will respond by saying, well, he took our sin and he took the punishment that we deserved. And that is absolutely correct. But if you're a father, or if you become a father or a mother, and you were to say to your child who has done something wrong, "I'm not punishing you this time," perhaps that kid will feel exactly the sort of thoughts that go through my mind as I say that. And that is, well, what happens the next time? And you see, if all that we believe is that God has just done away with our sin, it actually doesn't convince us that he loves us. And that theologians call the passive redemption work of Jesus. But if you consider the work and the life of Jesus, then it's clear that everybody who wrote about him and all of us who know him know that he lived a perfect life. There was nothing that he did that was wrong, that was sin, that meant that he'd missed the mark. And in a sense, a life like that deserves God's love, God's honor, his blessing, and everything that is good that God can give. And you know, Jesus didn't only die that he might take our sin, but he lived so perfectly that when we die, we get the benefit that he actually qualified for. And so, you see, this really is good news. And that is why Paul and the rest of the disciples at that stage were so confident, so bold about the fact that what lay ahead was something that was worth living for and worth dying for. And so I want to close with Romans 15, verse 13. I'm going to read it to you. A beautiful verse where Paul captures something of what I've just been spoken of. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all hope, with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your mind and in your life. Take this good news and share it. Make sure that others hear and see and know that God is alive because he lives in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that through all that you've done, through the life, Lord Jesus, that you lived, and Holy Spirit, through the ministry that you have in our hearts and in our environment and in our communities and in our country and in the world, that we have hope, not because of what we've done or anything that we achieve, but entirely based in who you are. And I really thank you that at this time, while we battle through, as the rest of the world does too, this virus that apparently is so problematic, and I'm sure it is, but Lord God, that thank you that it didn't take you by surprise, and thank you that we can remain a people of hope because of who you are, despite the circumstances we're in. And so I just pray for every person listening to this, Lord, that in our hearts, your ministry would cause us to know for certain that you live and that we have a good news, a good story to tell because it's your story. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.